This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Friday, February 4th, 2022. I'm Caleb Brown. Imagine driving an armored truck full of cash, being pulled over by armed gunmen, and having it all stolen. Yes, it's all illegal under state law, but police in California, yes, on-duty cops, are the ones doing this. They seem to think they're going to get away with it. Dan Albin is an attorney at the Institute for Justice. He represents a business being victimized by these thefts. We spoke earlier this week.
If you explain civil forfeiture to people, the first response is, no, that's not real. Police don't do that. And then you explain it, and to the extent that you have some credible information to provide them, which is in the news on a regular basis, people say that's unconscionable, we need to stop it. And police do not seem deterred by this, broadly speaking. And even when you have assurances from the feds that they're not going to be involved in where there are legal markets operating that are federally illegal, they're still involved. So what is going on in California?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions about what's going on in California. But what's going on with my clients is they run an armored car business that transports the proceeds from state licensed and state legal cannabis dispensaries to financial institutions, banks and credit unions. There's over 700 banks and credit unions that now do business with cannabis businesses. They follow these FinCEN guidelines and a bunch of anti-money laundering regulations very strictly. And my client, Imperial Logistics, transports the cash proceeds from those cannabis businesses to the national banking system. But what's happened in the past few months is the San Bernardino County Sheriff and others in the federal agencies in California have been stopping these vehicles, these armored vehicles, as they're delivering these proceeds to, you know, banks and credit unions, and seizing the cash proceeds from those vehicles in what really is no different from highway robbery. It's just the people doing it are wearing badges.
There's a lot just in what you just told me. One, armored vehicles. There was a time when legal cannabis producers could not use the national banking system. Is that still broadly true, or is that changed?
It is broadly true, but as I mentioned, there's a little over 700 financial institutions in the U.S. that are doing business with cannabis institutions now. In many cases, it's because there are state laws that permit them to do so legally. And so California is one of the states that's passed some statutes in recent years that explicitly makes it legal for financial institutions to do business with cannabis dispensaries and other cannabis businesses. And so there's a California statute that specifically says transporting the proceeds of cannabis businesses is legal in the state of California. So that should protect my client and their business. But the feds disagree, and they've essentially enlisted sheriff's deputies in both California and in Kansas to seize the proceeds as they're being transported on the highways.
When a local sheriff is effectively acting at the behest of a federal law enforcement agency, who are they accountable to?
Well, that's a great question. They're certainly not accountable to the laws of California, because what they're doing is not in keeping with the laws of California. Everything that my client is doing and everything that the state licensed cannabis businesses are doing are lawful under California law. And so the sheriff is seemingly basically answering to the feds, which is a big problem. You're not supposed to have state law enforcement co-opted by the feds. State law enforcement is supposed to be enforcing state laws. And if certain businesses are protected under state law, state law enforcement officers are not supposed to be going after those businesses. But what's going on here is the feds have a forfeiture program called the Federal Equitable Sharing Program. And this program essentially allows state and local law enforcement to bypass state laws for forfeiture by sending the money that they seize to the feds. And when they do that, they are no longer subject to state protections against forfeiture or state laws that say where forfeiture proceeds have to go. And the money is processed under federal law. It's typically forfeited under federal law. And then the equitable sharing part is that typically state and local agencies get back up to 80% of the proceeds, while the feds keep usually about 20% of the proceeds. And so using this federal equitable sharing program, the San Bernardino County Sheriff is able to profit from seizures like the seizures that he's doing against my clients, Imperial Logistics.
So under state law, what the police are doing here is blatantly illegal. Under federal law, if they were operating in a different state, it might be hunky-dory as far as state and federal laws are concerned. Do you know, or does anyone know, the extent to which the officers who work for the San Bernardino Sheriff's Office are, in fact, deputized federal agents?
Well, a number of them are, and this is quite common across the country because typically the feds work with state and local law enforcement agencies in joint task forces. And so in San Bernardino County, there is a joint task force called ERNET, the Inland Regional Narcotics Enforcement Team, I believe is what that stands for. And it involves both FBI and DEA and the San Bernardino County Sheriff and a number of other local law enforcement agencies. And so in these seizures, allegedly, there have been deputies that are task force officers that are part of ERNET. And because they are cross-sworn as both San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputies and federal task force officers, they claim the authority to do these seizures in the name of the task force and then hand the money over to the FBI for forfeiture.
What do you hope to come out of this? I mean, this is sort of stunning, but I mean, you've done this a long time, and I have followed this issue for a long time, so it's not entirely surprising to us. But what's the best case scenario for your clients and for this as a policy?
Well, we'd certainly like to get a TRO and a preliminary injunction stopping any future stops, searches, seizures of my clients' armored vehicles and the contents of those vehicles so that they can continue operating in Southern California. They've had to suspend their business operations in San Bernardino County and also suspend their business operations in Kansas. So they'd like to be able to return to doing business as they were before. And ultimately, we'd like to establish some precedent that these agencies can't conduct these suspicionless stops, searches, and seizures on the sides of the highway simply because someone is transporting cannabis proceeds. I think there's a number of other potential outcomes from the case in terms of the precedent that could be established. Obviously, this case showcases the problems with the equitable sharing system, and I'm hopeful that Congress will take note of that or the Biden administration will take note of that and suspend or end altogether the federal equitable sharing program, because it creates these crazy situations where state law enforcement officers are completely ignoring state law, circumventing state forfeiture law, because they get to profit from the proceeds that they seize, even if those proceeds are from businesses that are completely legal under state law.
I know that your colleague Patrick Giacomo has done a lot of work related to the deputized local, state and local officials who are deputized as federal agents. Is it possible that there would be criminal charges for the police here who are stealing this money?
It'd be premature for me to speculate on that. We obviously aren't involved in bringing criminal charges, and I suspect that the San Bernardino County DA's office, which has been working with the San Bernardino County Sheriff on these seizures and forfeitures, is very unlikely to, you know, turn its sights on itself or on San Bernardino County Sheriff's deputies. But what's going on certainly doesn't look like something that's legal under state law.
So armored vehicles, you know, you see an armored vehicle driving down the road and there's a good chance that it's full of money. And why seize the money and not the products that these people are selling.
Well, that's an excellent point. If the San Bernardino County Sheriff or the federal agencies involved were actually concerned that these state-licensed, state-legal cannabis operations were somehow violating the law, what they would do is they would investigate those operations, they would get a warrant, and they would go do a raid and arrest whomever they think is violating the law. They would, you know, possibly shut down the businesses. And that's how you would combat actual illegal activity if that was your goal. But the problem with that is, well, first of all, I don't think they genuinely believe there's anything illegal going on with the underlying businesses. This is simply an attempt to exploit the differences between state and federal law for their financial advantage. And so rather than going to all the effort to try to initiate a criminal investigation and meet the criminal burden of proof in a prosecution, it's much easier to just sit on the side of the highway, wait for an armored car to come by, pull it over, seize the contents of that vehicle. And at the end of the day, it's much more profitable for your agency because you get to keep those proceeds. 80% of those proceeds come back to your agency if you're the San Bernardino County Sheriff. And so that's what's driving all of this. There's no legitimate government interest from the standpoint of the state of California to enforcing against state legal, state licensed cannabis operations. But if you're the San Bernardino County Sheriff and you'd like to supplement your budget with some extra forfeiture dollars, that is plenty of reason. There's millions of reasons, each one of them a green piece of paper, that you might want to pull over these armored cars and seize their contents.
Dan Albin is an attorney at the Institute for Justice. Subscribe to and give a rating to the Cato Daily Podcast on your podcast platform of choice. And follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.